Psalm 86 is a prayer of David. So we'll go through the psalm now. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign of your favor, that those who hate me may see and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. So as we approach the end of the year, it's always a time to look back and reflect upon this past year about things that we've done, how our lives have been. And as the theme this past year at SP is the God of order, it's also a time to kind of really reflect about whether our lives are in alignment with God's order. I was drawn to share on Psalm 86 today, partly because we've been doing verse 12 as a memory verse at SP Kids in November. So I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. But also particularly because of what leads up to verse 12. So in verse 11, it says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. My brothers and sisters, as we have spent this past year talking and praying about God's order, none of this can be achieved if we cannot unite our hearts to fear his name. Verse 12 says we need to give thanks and glorify him with our whole heart. But if our heart is not united, how are we able to give our whole heart? If our hearts are divided, we cannot be in alignment, and we need God's help to bring us back into order. So through today's devotional, I just want to spend a bit of time doing really two things. The first thing is just to reflect upon the problems of having a divided heart, and more importantly, consider and just have a heart check whether we really have one or not. And secondly is, if we do have a divided heart, what are the steps or what are the remedies that we can, you know, unite our heart again? And I think the answers are in David's prayer in Psalm 86. So just by way of background, Psalm 86 is titled as a prayer of David. Scholars can't place an exact time of when in David's life this psalm was written, but they speculate that this prayer is probably something that he used often or maybe recommended to his friends to use, especially in times of affliction. And this particular psalm is quite interesting because practically every verse is taken from another psalm somewhere else. One of the messages that I read about Psalm 86 called Psalm 86 basically a mosaic, where it pierces together verses and phrases from other psalms and scriptures. So when you read Psalm 86, it's not unusual to think that, hey, I might have read this somewhere else in some of the other Psalms. Psalm 86 effectively has three parts, verses 1 to 7, where David is pleading to God and giving reasons for his plea. Verses 8 to 13, where he's praising God and asking God to bring him in alignment with God's will. And verse 14 to 17, where in the face of his enemies, he's submitting his enemies and issues to God to deal with. So back on the point about the divided heart, I guess we all know in our daily lives that having a divided heart is not a good thing. So, for example, you think about your work. If you're not focused on the task at hand, it's easy to make a mistake. For those of you who know, I'm a lawyer by profession, so I spend most of my time reading lots and lots of documents. But in order to do my job well, I have to be focused, because if I have an undivided heart, I'm thinking about 300 things at the same time. It's easy to miss the one crucial word that would completely change the meaning of a provision. In family life, it's also important to have a united heart. For those who are married, you know that your heart cannot be divided. You have serious issues if your heart's divided and it's not united towards, you know, your spouse. And for those with kids, at SP Kids, we always say that love is spelled T-I-M-E, time. But I will also add that it's not just about the amount of time that we spend with kids, but it's the quality of the time. So if I'm spending time with my kids, I can't be on my, you know, on my phone at the same time, texting people, I don't know, watching YouTube or Netflix at the same time. That's not good. And we, you know, also take an example of sports. I'm a big team sports fan. And you can always tell which teams will do well or won't do well throughout the season or tournament, because it depends on how united that team is in terms of the structure and in terms of how unified they are in their goal. Teams that have players who are asking to be traded or sold during the middle of the season usually won't be champions at the end of the season. And in our spiritual walk, we know from Scripture that a divided heart is an issue. We often repeat the following scriptures at SP. James 1:8, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. 1 John 2:15-17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. If we know that a divided heart will affect our work, our family life, and our favorite sports teams, how will a divided heart not adversely affect our spiritual walk? Then the bigger question is, do we have a divided heart? Last week's sermon, PSAM preached on idolatry. At House Church, we came to a conclusion that idolatry is anything that you give greater priority to than your relationship with God. Simply put, if you're willing to give greater priority to anything else, you probably have a divided heart. And as you all know, we are currently in the process of rolling out a church membership at SP. And one of the main purposes, or maybe the main purpose of the membership, is for us to become fully devoted followers of Christ. But what does fully devoted mean? Dictionary definition of devote is this: give all or most of one's time or resources to a person or activity. Give all or most of one's time or resources to a person or activity. That is the definition of devote. And I was listening to a message by Pastor Chuck Smith on Psalm 86, and specifically this topic on undivided heart. And he asked this question: when you look back at your past week, what have you been devoting yourself to? And given we are at the end of this year, the question is, looking back at your past year, what have you been devoting yourself to? Pastor Smith puts it this way: those things that are absorbing our energy, our time, our mind, those are the things that we are really devoted to. Look back at your past year. What have you been spending your energy, your time, and your mind on? This really, really spoke to me as I was reflecting upon this past year. And based on that standard of devotion, can I honestly say that I have been devoted to the Lord? I'm not really sure. And as I was preparing for this message, I felt so convicted in my heart, and I had to repent. We give God a place in our hearts, but we don't give him our whole hearts, and that's just not enough. In Matthew 22, 37 to 38, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." My friends, what have we been devoting ourselves to this past year? If you're convicted, as I was, that your heart has been divided, then the question is, what is the cure? How can we fix this? And I would just submit to you that Psalm 86 gives us guidance, and it can be summarized really in 3 points. First is that we need to recognize that we are always in need. Secondly, that we need to remember God's character. And thirdly, we need to rely on his teachings and his ways. On the first part, recognizing that we are always in need, I just want to quickly reread verses 1 to 7 again. In verses 1 to 7, we can clearly see that David is distressed. He needs help. It says, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me." We may think to ourselves, we aren't in David's situation. Our lives aren't being threatened, as David suggests it was in verse 14 later in the psalm. But my friends, our lives are always being threatened by the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Remember, we came to Christ precisely because we are in need, because we needed a Savior. It's our Savior for eternity, not for a moment in time. One pastor frames it like this: our pride blinds us to how needy we really are, so that we rely on ourselves or on other people or on some godless method to get us out of our troubles. Finally, when nothing else has worked, we say, "We've done all that we can. The only thing left is to pray." We need to recognize that we are poor and needy all the time, because without our Lord Jesus Christ, we would be lost, with no assurance of salvation, with no purpose. We can't be coming to God as a last resort. We need to cry out to God for his grace, as it says in verse 2, for him to protect our life, or as it is translated in the KJV version, for him to protect our soul. David understands that the key battle is not over his physical form, but over his soul, and only God can protect it. Our heart is divided because we think we can rely on ourselves, that we don't constantly need him in our lives. We struggle to unite our hearts towards him because we think we can do it ourselves, when we really need him to unite our hearts. So on the second point, remembering God's character, the power of David's prayer is that he prays with confidence, knowing God's character. That even though God is a God where all nations shall come and worship before you, that he is the only God and there are none like him, David knew that if he humbled himself, the Lord would incline his ear or bow down to answer even just one person who is poor and needy. That David is confident that God is a Lord who will look after his servant. God was referred to seven times in Psalm 86, and in the Hebrew, the word used is Adonai, which indicates absolute lordship. David is assured that this is Lord, he is God is Lord, and that he will look after his servant. In verses 5 and verses 15, we can also see David talking about the goodness of God, that God is good and forgiving, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. My friends, when we come to the Lord, are we confident of God's character? That if we humble ourselves, that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Are we confident that we can come to him as a humble servant to request him to unite our hearts towards him? And thirdly, the final point is relying on his teachings and his ways. David recognized that he is in need. David understood God's character. Then what does David do? Does he just say, Lord, just get me out of this predicament. Get me out of the situation. That's all I want. No. In verse 11, he says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. So even though he's going through all the circumstances, all the difficulties in his life, he says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. That is really what he's going after. We need to come to the Lord with an open heart and teachable heart. A teachable heart is so important. At work, when you get to a more supervisory role, you are looking for team members who are, of course, competent, but more importantly, that they are coachable, that they can be taught, they can be molded. And I would say it's similar in ministry, that you're looking for sons of the house who can submit and be taught. And I pray this morning that knowing that we are in need, knowing of God's goodness, that we open our hearts to be taught through his word and his teachings. So I'd just like to invite Ernie to lead us in worship this morning. And as we prepare our hearts for worship, I just want you to reflect again and look back at your past year. And what have you been devoting yourself to? What are those things that are absorbing your energy, your time, and your mind? Those are the things that we are really devoted to. And considering we're only 3 weeks away from the fast, I would ask you to really pray about fasting those things that you're devoted to that are not of God. And as we wrap up this year and enter a new year, I just pray that we will realign ourselves with God's order. So, Pastor Ernie?
I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You'll never fail me. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You'll never fail me. Yeah. You'll never fail me. Yeah. Never fail me, yeah. I see you move the mountains, and I believe I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe. I see you do it again. I see you move, yes. You move the mountain. And I believe, God, I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way. And I believe, I see you do it again. Still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You'll never fail me. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. Still in your hands, this is my confidence. You never fail me, yeah. Never fail me, yeah. I see you do it. I believe I see you do it again. I see you do it again. Lord, my God, see you do it again. See you do it again. I believe, Lord, great is thy faithfulness. New every morning, your faithfulness, Lord. Do it again, God.
Thank you, Lord God, that you are faithful. Great is your faithfulness, Lord God, that you've never failed us. That no matter how many times that we've fallen short of you, you've always come, you've always chased after us, you've always come to bring us back into your fold. Father, I just pray that that you'll mold our hearts, Lord God, that you'll unite our hearts towards you, that we'll be fully devoted followers of Christ. So, Father, we just lift up our lives, our souls to you, Lord God. Just pray for you to lead us in everything that we do. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. So let's turn to our corporate prayers. Let's lift up our loved ones, our friends and family who are dealing with cancer. And also for chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. Let's just pray that for God's healing hand to be upon them. And also just pray for peace and comfort all over all the relatives and all the friends who are taking care of those who are suffering with cancer. So let's just pray. Turn to the next slide. Let's pray for our friends and family who are ill, but who also need to be touched by the Lord. And let's just pray for each and every one of them, even though they are going through illnesses, that they'll have an encounter with the Lord for their souls to be saved. Turn to the next slide. Let's just pray for all our friends and family who are just going through different types of illnesses and issues. Let's just pray for God to heal them. Let's turn to the next slide. Let's just lift up our brothers and sisters who are looking for work. Just pray that God will open the right doors for them in their workplace. Next slide. Let's lift up our mission focus. Let's pray for SP New York, for Ruth, Jess, and Kelly as they continue the ministry there. Let's pray for North Korea. Let's pray for open doors for ministry opportunities in North Korea, and also for missional opportunities, partnerships in Asia, and also just pray for all the persecutest churches, especially in the Middle East. Lift up all our online weekend gatherings. We're back online again this week. Just pray for the migrants workers outreach, for Sunday service, for SP kids, for worship, for hospitality, SP youth, PMC, spin and spill services and activities, and all the meetings. Let's just pray that, you know, despite that it will be on Zoom and online again, that Holy Spirit will be with us as we attend the different gatherings this weekend. Let's pray. Let's lift up the house churches that are meeting today: Hollywood, Kings Court, Mahwah, and Southside. This is, I think, the second last house church of the season. So just pray that they'll have a good discussion about idolatry, that they'll be able to come in, together in one heart to understand what the issues are with idolatry, with yoga, and that just pray for anointing upon the house church leaders. Topic is interesting, and just pray for God's for Holy Spirit to be with each and every one of members attending house churches. Finally, let's continue to lift up Hong Kong. We still have a lot of cases this past week. Just pray that for healing upon those who have been infected, and just pray for just peace for those, for people, for friends and family of those who have been infected, for them to know that God is ultimately in control. And also, let's lift up the government for just wisdom throughout the government, for them to be able to take care of those who are in need in Hong Kong today. So let's just continue to lift up our city. Thank you. So, Father God, I just pray that this morning you'll examine our hearts, Lord God. You know where our energy, our mind, and our times are focused towards. And Father God, we need all the help that we can get in order to be realigned with you, for our hearts to be united towards you. Father God, I just lay down our lives to you, Lord God. I lay down our souls to you. We just pray that you will come and minister to us, to take care of us, Lord God. We are your humble servants, Lord God. We just thank you that you are Lord, that you are good, good God. So, Father God, we just thank you again for my brothers and sisters this morning. I just pray that we'll be able to walk in alignment with your order. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.